Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Tuesday, the final day of September, September 30th, 2014. We are live broadcasting from AM 1030 KVOI, the voice, the strongest news talk station here in Tucson with great reach. We're also podcasting on my website, buckmastershow.com. We've got the live stream there. You can also live stream the show at kvoi.com. We've got a full program for you, as usual, very content heavy. We'll get going with Dr. Francisco Garcia. He is Pima County Health Director. We have lots to talk about it concerning flu preparedness and some other issues. Then Tuesday Moneymaker Report, hosted by Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner. Shelley has kind of a neutral smile on his face today, which means the market's going a little bit sideways. We'll find out more from him. Then the ongoing candidate interview series continues today. State Representative Ethan Orr will be with us, and we'll close out the show with our Buckmaster Tuesday Arts Report, presented by Fox Tucson Theater, and today hosted by Margaret Regan, the Tucson Weekly Arts Editor. The Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040, and our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. Let's welcome now on the live line Francisco Garcia, Dr. Garcia, Pima County Health Director. How are you today?
I'm doing terrific, Bill. Thank you for having me with you.
Well, thank you very much. It is the beginning of flu season. It's the time when we should be thinking about getting a flu shot, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommend a flu shot for everyone older than 6 months. But the news that came out a week or so ago that really only fewer than half of Americans are getting flu shots, that's kind of concerning, isn't it, Dr. Garcia?
Absolutely. And in fact, for Pima County, we know that we are not doing nearly as well as we want. Only 50.6% of all adults in Pima County over the age of 60 are getting their flu shot. That's slightly less than the rest of the state. And really, we need to be doing a lot better.
And is some of this the anti-vaccination epidemic that was written about in the Wall Street Journal the other day? Is that part of this?
I don't believe so. I think that the sort of anti-vaccine movement really focuses on vaccinations in children. I think there are a couple of things that are at play with regards to adults. Most of the time, adults don't think about the fact that they require vaccinations periodically. We think of vaccination as something you do to children, not something you do with adults. And so being reminded periodically that there are certain things that we should be doing to take care of our own health, and in this case, the flu vaccination, is an important piece.
And the flu kills 30,000 or more each year in this country, so I know the Ebola gets all the headlines, but this is pretty scary in our own country when you're talking about 30,000 people who fall victim and actually die from influenza-related illness.
And it's a local issue. For instance, last year we had 15 deaths in adults associated with influenza. Now, most of these folks were older folks. Most of these folks had other complicating medical issues. But the bottom line is, in each case, influenza was at least partly culpable in this mortality.
I had my flu shot already, had it a couple of weeks ago. The extra strength dosage was given to me because I am of a certain age group, and I wonder about this extra strength. What's in this particular dosage?
It's a slightly different formulation that's been designed for individuals who are 60 years of age or older, and is just meant to provide some added protection. But the bottom line is any flu vaccine is better than none, and that if you happen to be that rare person who ends up having a significant complication of flu due to an exposure, it's a really important, think of it as an insurance policy.
I know that many folks over 65, it's recommended that they get a shot for pneumonia prevention. I heard something about now that you need two shots. What's the latest on that?
So you're absolutely right. For individuals who are 65 and older, and for other folks who have other medical issues, vaccination against pneumonia is a recommended piece. There are different formulations. Different companies have come up with their own versions. Just believe me that all the products that are currently on the market for the pneumovax, the pneumococcal pneumonia vaccination, are good products. And as long as you have one of them, you don't need to get all of them.
What's the deal with this? When it started out, was first reported in the news, it was called kind of a mystery virus that was striking children. I think it's now in 40 states in the District of Columbia, including, I believe, Arizona. Is this a serious form of, it's called enterovirus, is that correct?
So enterovirus, B68 is what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Enterovirus is a family of non-polio viruses that have been around for a long time. By the way, there have been no positive cases in the state of Arizona as of the 29th of September. But it is something that is cropping up in some of the states around us, so it may be just a matter of time. What you need to know is that enteroviruses are fairly common viruses in our environment. They're the kinds of things that kids get fairly regularly. Most of the time they have kind of benign cold-like symptoms, sneezing, runny nose, cough, maybe some fever, maybe some muscle aches. The issue is that what has been noticed by the Centers for Disease Control is that sometimes when children get this, specifically sometimes when children with respiratory problems get this, they can become very, very ill. And there have been some significant hospitalizations and even ICU stays associated with this enterovirus D68. So that's part of the reason. That's part of the reason this is getting a lot of attention. By the way, back in 2010, we had 5 laboratory confirmed cases in Arizona. So this isn't something that's new. We just need to keep an eye for it, and just be aware of it. And you can imagine that our team has its radar working overtime to see if there's anything going on in Pima County that might be related to this.
Dr. Francisco Garcia with us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. Dr. Garcia is the Pima County Health Director. I know you're concerned about this increase in syphilis cases, doubled or triple, really, over what it was a year ago. What's going on there?
It's a really concerning situation. Syphilis is, as you may or may not know, is a sexually transmitted bacteria. That can have very, very serious consequences for individuals. Back in 2012, we had only 31 cases reported for the entire year. That went up to 55 in 2013. So far in 2014, we've had 113 confirmed cases of either primary or secondary syphilis. That is more than double where we were at for the entirety of last year. It's really, really critical thing. The part that is really important to understand is that syphilis is an entirely treatable disease, that we have really good ways of screening and diagnosing it. And so we are really, you're seeing billboards and bus shelter posters really with our campaign to get the facts, get tested, and get treated around syphilis. And in fact, we as a county health department are so committed to this that we are offering free screening and potentially treatment for the month of October, trying to get as many people into our system as possible to make sure that they are checked for this.
Is this a Pima County kind of a localized anomaly, or what are some of your counterparts around the state? What are they saying, perhaps even up in the Phoenix area? Are they also seeing the increase?
What's really interesting is that there's been this national trend toward an increase in the number of cases of syphilis. But what I can tell you, and I meet with the folks from across the state on a more than monthly basis, I can tell you that for the size of our population, we are overrepresented in terms of the number of cases. So numerically, we may have fewer cases than Maricopa County, but proportionately we have more. And so part of what we're trying to do is be really aggressive about our campaign to let primary care providers and urgent care providers and ED providers understand about how to screen for syphilis and how to get people into treatment as quickly as possible.
Where's the free testing going on then? You said until October 31st?
We're doing the free testing in all our county health department facilities, and you can college can go to the web at pima.gov/health.
Okay, getting back to the flu and the flu preparedness, what is the best time to get a flu shot? Do we normally get a case October, November? Is that when it usually starts?
That's actually a great question, because that's always one of the things is how soon should you get your flu shot, and will that protection last me the whole season if I get it too early? We typically recommend that people start thinking about getting their flu vaccination sometime in September. And it does protect you for the duration of the season. It kind of depends on what flu strains are kind of floating out there. We think we know which ones are going to be the marquee ones this season. That's how the flu vaccine was constructed. We will see if those guesses were correct or not. If you a flu vaccination during this period of time, it will provide you the protection that you need for the rest of the season.
Dr. Garcia, thanks for spending a few minutes with us during your lunch hour today. Appreciate it.
Happy to do it, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Francisco Garcia, the doctor who is head of the Pima County Health Department, joining us on the Buckmaster Show to get things rolling on this Tuesday. We're coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI and live streaming at buckmastershow.com and KVOI.com. Shelley Fishman, we're going to talk money right after this.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS. That's 571-7847.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Get Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 per month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get your first month free. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 1/4/15. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Tucson Desert Art Museum. Tucson's newest art museum is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerville Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Everyone is invited to tour Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson during its all-day 10th anniversary celebration Saturday, October 4th. There will be something for everyone, including live action in the surgery department and doctor dress-up for the kids. Plus, your tour pass doubles as a raffle ticket with a chance to win great prizes. Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson at North La Cunada Drive and West River Road, home of Specialty Vets for Special Pets.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And I can make a recommendation since I'm the host for the show, and I recommend Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner. Shelley, how are you today? How's
I am
your week
well,
going?
Bill. Week is going, but it's, you know, it's still early.
Oh, yeah.
The week is going okay.
Early on a Tuesday, yeah. But we have the situation with Hong Kong, and I don't want to spend the whole time on this, but of course, it has dominated the news, and a lot of the financial markets have reacted rather negatively to this.
Well, right. Anytime you have uncertainty, especially in the vicinity of a financial capital, you're going to spook the markets a little bit, and that's what's happened. But I don't think Hong Kong on its own is what's causing this pullback and kind of slowdown in volume, et cetera. I think we've got a lot of things going on in the world right now that are creating a great deal of uncertainty. You know, we still have problems with the Ukraine. We have problems with this Ebola epidemic and some forecasts about how high it might rise. And that creates uncertainties in terms of the African markets, because Africa has become a large consumer of commodities. And so if Africa slows down because they're otherwise distracted, that's a problem. You have the American elections coming up. There are just so many things that are creating a certain amount of uncertainty right now that it's not surprising to me to see that the markets slow down a bit.
I want to talk a bit about something we touched on during our last session together, exchange-traded funds mm-hmm. that are known as ETFs. I want to dig a little deeper into this. What are these funds, and how are they different from I think most people understand how a mutual fund works.
Right. Well, they're different from a mutual fund in several ways, and this discussion is going to include both ETFs and what's called closed-ended funds. There are some differences between those two things, but for you and me, they're the same thing. Okay, so when you buy a share of a mutual fund, you may buy it through your broker, but you are buying a share directly from that mutual fund company. And that mutual fund company takes your money and increases the value of their fund by the amount of money that you just gave them. So every share that you buy of a mutual fund is a new share. And every share you give back to them because you want to sell it is a share that they retire. okay, so that you have a relationship with that mutual fund company. And the mutual fund company, therefore, doesn't know what their mutual fund is worth until the end of the day. And by standard, it's 4 p.m. Eastern time. So those funds are not traded on normal exchanges. You are buying those funds from the mutual fund company and selling them back to the mutual fund company. With exchange-traded funds, it doesn't work that way. With closed-ended funds, if I want to put together a closed-ended fund, say, to track the S&P 500, I go and borrow $100 million, and I put together a portfolio of stocks that mimics the S&P 500. And then I go to an underwriter and I say, let's issue these shares. I close my fund so that I am no longer dealing with the public. The underwriter issues those shares. And as those shares trade in the future, they're trading on a market, on an exchange traded fund. And I never know because I don't have a direct input into the buying and selling of that fund. It is in the secondary market is where it trades. So it's very liquid because I don't have to wait till 4 o'clock to know what it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Also, since I'm tracking an index rather than trying to beat the index, most mutual funds have high-paid managers that try to beat their their colleagues, if you will. Most exchange-traded funds just track the index. So we don't hire managers to market them. We don't hire managers to beat the index. So their internal costs are typically 20 or 30 basis points, where the typical internal costs of a similarly configured normal mutual fund would be in the area of a full point or maybe a point and a quarter. So they're very different in many, many ways, and they have captured the imagination of investors. They have grown just vociferously. They are today, I think, the largest single category of trading that goes on in these markets. And as a result, they have proliferated such that there's not an index that you can name that doesn't have, two or three ETFs that track that index. So that there are now what were hundreds are now thousands of ETFs that you can buy. Call your broker, buy the ETF, and the trade is placed instantly. They're fairly liquid. Not as liquid as, say, AT&T stock, mm-hmm. But very, very liquid indeed. You'll never beat the market because they are the market.
Advantage then, obvious question, advantage over the mutual funds.
Lower cost.
Okay.
More liquidity.
Mm-hmm.
Typical, you're not going to have some of the tax implications because they're not creating the dividend situations. For instance, we had situations in the year 2000, where at the end of the year, mutual funds were down. But because they had done so much trading during the course of the year, there were huge capital gains implications. So you lost money on the fund, but still had a capital gain after you sold it in the same year. That is very difficult for that to happen with an exchange-traded fund because, again, they're not managed. Once you've mimicked that index, the fund is static. Mm-hmm. You don't have a manager going, around saying, well, let's buy that and sell that and mm-hmm. buy that and sell mm-hmm. that. And that doesn't exist with ETFs. I love them, Bill. Most of my clients are invested in closed-ended and ETFs rather than me having to be a stock picker. I don't have to pick the stock. I just pick the sector.
So it sounds like the mutual fund, this is giving the mutual fund folks a run for their money.
Oh, it is. Yeah. And of course, what have the mutual fund folks done? Created their own ETF families.
Oh, okay. So they're covering themselves.
Oh, right you there. Bet.
All right, Shelley. Thank you for the information about ETFs, and people can find out more about ETFs, and you would be happy to talk to investors about that and their financial portfolios.
Absolutely. So the best way to reach me is on thebuckmastershow.com, and then find the link to me and simply go to that link. The other way is to go to my own website, shelleyfishman.com, or call me 940-0884.
Shelley, I hope you have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Thanks a lot. We'll be right back as we continue with our candidate interview series on the Buckmaster Show. Ethan Orr is up to the plate next on the series, and that continues after this message.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. British warplanes have entered the fight against ISIS. Britain's defense secretary says British aircraft today carried out airstrikes against Islamic State targets in Iraq for the very first time. Iraqi officials say a wave of car bombings and other attacks across Iraq has killed more than 40 people today, including more than 20 in the capital Baghdad. Pennsylvania State Police, searching a remote area of the Poconos for the man accused in the killing of a state trooper, say they found a couple of pipe bombs in the woods during their manhunt. 31-year-old Eric Freen has been on the run since September 12th. On Wall Street, stocks in negative territory heading into the final half hour of today's trading. The Dow is down about 3 points, the Nasdaq is off 4 points, and the S&P 500 index 2 points in the red. More details at srnnews.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:34 on this Tuesday afternoon. Between now and Election Day, the Buckmaster Show interview series with all the candidates that we can get on the program for state and federal office that are in interest, of course, to Tucson and the Tucson area. We turn now to District 9, and with us is Republican state lawmaker Ethan Orr. Ethan, how are you?
Bill, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
And, of course, you are in a three-way race, and the top two vote-getters, for folks who don't know how it works, the top two vote-getters will go on up to Phoenix, and there are two incumbents, yourself, the Republican, and the Democrat, Victoria Steele, and then there is a challenger, Democrat Dr. Randall Fries, the trauma surgeon over at UMC. So you've got a three-way primary. What are folks telling you? Do you like what you're hearing?
I love what I'm hearing. One of the things that was so important, I went up there, and I went up there to serve my community, and while I was in the legislature, no one outworked me. I was usually the first one at the Capitol and one of the last to leave. It's why I was so effective and was able to do so many bills, and we'll talk about even getting the veterinarian school last week.
Were you working 8-plus hours?
Oh, goodness, much more than that. I mean, if you're going to do the job right, there's some 16-hour days. But the way that I look at it, even if I get 2 years and that's it, mm-hmm. I wanted those 2 years to count. It's too important. We have a million people that live in this community, and they deserve our utmost respect and our and really the gratitude to work, but they deserve our best.
Did you have any bills that were signed into law?
I had a number. In fact, one of the things that we talk about is I passed more bills than the entire minority caucus. Some of the bills that we just did, the commercial spaceflight bill, I'm very excited about. We changed the liability laws so that we could bring commercial spaceflight here. It's already resulted in over 100 jobs for it staying or being increased in Tucson, but then they're going to start Paragon's looking at manufacturing the space capsules here, so that's going to be 150 manufacturing jobs, plus the jobs in northern Arizona with the launch site. So it brought a whole new industry here, and it's already resulted in hundreds of jobs for Tucsonans.
What about the budget that's going to be the huge issue over this $300 million that may or may not go into school funding? It depends on whether there's a delay, but it's got to have a big impact on the budget.
It's going to have a huge impact on the budget. And one of the things that I start asking is, do you want a seat at the table or not? I was just talking to a person who will probably be our speaker, and the most likely place, if and when, being optimistic that I win, I will be chairman of the Higher Education and Workforce Committee. So I'll be in a position to really protect Tucson's interest and our institutions and make sure that Phoenix doesn't get as much of the money, because the money's in the budget. The problem is there's so many votes at the Capitol that it's being spent there, and it needs to come down here into Tucson. So, for example, last year I helped the JTED, Pima County Vocational Ed, get $1.5 million that would have gone to Phoenix. I helped Pima College get about $700,000 that would have gone to Pima. I helped the U of A. In fact, one thing we're so very proud of, I helped them get $2 million, which they used to get $9 million as a private sector donation, and just last week, the Board of Regents voted to create a new veterinarian school. We've been working to do that as a state for 42 years, and we finally were able to do it because I believe I was able to reach across the aisle and put our community's interest above partisan interest.
Were you able to do anything for Pima Community College?
Yes, I was. One of the things that we added $2 million for urban colleges last year into the budget, and that resulted in about $700,000 for Pima College. But one thing that's so important, if I go back as the chairman of higher ed, I want to change the funding formulas to create dual enrollment. That's where if I'm a high school junior or senior, I could be working towards my associate's or my baccalaureate degree. It's one of the most effective ways to create first-generation college students. So if I graduate where my dad taught at Cholla, I could graduate with 12 units towards my undergraduate degree. I'm more statistically more likely to stay in school.
Can you work with Democrats?
Absolutely. I think that the way that I work, and this is... I think if you're confident in your ideas, and to me, I just want the best idea. I don't care if I'm right or wrong. I want to put the idea on the table and solve the problem. And I think the more people that are actually working on the problem, the better chance of actually solving it. So some of the ways, like the laser bill where I worked with the police, I actually had one of the most conservative members of the Republican caucus and a fairly moderate to liberal member of the Democratic caucus. And the three of us sat down and we did that together. And we worked very closely, hand in glove, to get it through the House. House and the Senate and to the governor's desk. And frankly, I appreciated the different perspectives. And so I think one of the reasons I work so well with the minority caucus is because I respect their opinions. I don't always agree with their opinions, but they always have a voice to debate the issue and tell me if I'm right or wrong and to help shape that policy.
Ethan Orr is with us, Republican incumbent in District 9. He's involved in a three-way race. How about for veterans? Were you able to do anything to help the veterans?
You know, I did, and thank you for asking. It's extremely important to me. Anyone that served our country deserves our honor and respect. And so the first bill that I worked with Sonny Borelli on last year, as you know, I run an agency that helps people with disabilities find employment. We helped last year 855 people find jobs, and a number of them were disabled veterans. And what I saw is people were coming out, and they had the skill sets in the military, but they couldn't get the civilian equivalent. So, for example, I have some friends that flew with the parajumpers. Mm-hmm. They go into combat and they provide EMT services, and then they get separated and they leave the military, and they couldn't get a job on an ambulance. And so what I did is I actually changed the law so that they're fast-tracked or they're automatically qualified for the civilian equivalent. So if you can drive a deuce and a half or a large truck in the military and you're certified, you get a fast-track to the commercial driver's license here in Arizona so that you can automatically be employed. Another thing that I was very honored to work with, there's a group called the Missing in America Project. Mm-hmm. They take the cremated remains, unclaimed remains of veterans who have served our country, and no one is claiming them. And I changed the liability or the notification laws so that we could have access. There's about 2,000 of them. And we can take them and give them the honorable burial either in Sierra Vista or in Marana once that cemetery is built. In fact, last October, we buried 26 people. And they gave me the privilege of helping to be a part of that ceremony. And I was on the verge of tears thinking about how someone had served our country and been forgotten. And now we are remembering them.
I had no idea. These are unclaimed remains?
Yes. So, for example, like a homeless Vietnam veteran something mm-hmm. happened and they lost track of their family or the family lost track of them. And we do everything we can to notify the next of kin. But changing that law, and this is a nonprofit that does everything on their own dime. There's no government money. I just needed to change the laws so that they could work with the funeral homes.
Are you going door to door? It seems like you've always got a lot of energy. I mean, are you going door to door and asking people
Absolutely.
What's on their mind?
We are walking almost every day except Sunday, and it has been very good. In fact, we were just in Flowing Wells yesterday, and again, very good receptions. At almost every walk I'll run, I grew up here, mm-hmm. so I'll run into someone that I worked with or went to high school with, and it's just a lot of fun. One of the things about Tucson is we're such a giving and such a kind community. I have thoroughly enjoyed knocking on people's doors because behind most of those doors is a very friendly face and usually an old friend, mm-hmm. and so I have had a lot of fun. We have literally knocked on thousands and thousands of doors. In fact, Saturday, I was honored. There were 17 volunteers that came out on Saturday to help us, and hopefully this Saturday, we'll have more.
Okay, and early voting beginning?
10 days, October 9th. So this election's almost over, and I'm grateful for the chance to have served for 2 years, and I genuinely hope that I've been given two more. I've been very effective for our community, and it's been an honor to serve.
And your own story is rather compelling about you say you grew up here, but you had some hard knocks, didn't you, growing up?
Well, I did. And in fact, Rose and I were just talking about mm-hmm. that. I was briefly on the streets for a while, which is why I have...
Yeah, I thought you did. Didn't you like live under an underpass or something?
I did. And very quickly got my life together and worked actually 3 jobs, sometimes 4, to pay for my own school. Got 2 undergraduate degrees and then a master's from the University of Arizona. And frankly, I was telling Rose, I bought my first house less than 7 years after the time I was homeless. I now have 4 and I've turned them into rentals. And I've been teaching at the University of Arizona and Pima College and now at NAU, the Tucson campus, for about 13 years now. And so it has been, again, I've been given a lot of gifts and a lot of goodness in life. And that's one of the reasons I'm running is so that I can give some of that back. I genuinely believe everyone should have that opportunity.
All right. State Representative Ethan Orr, District 9, Republican, in a 3-way race. And thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson to Silver City. And they've got the big bike race October 4th coming up. It's the Cycle the Stunning Tour of the Gila for Gila River. and should be a lot of fun. If you want to go over to Silver City, and we hope you do, 3 hours east of Tucson. And for more information about the great places to stay, like Casitas de Gila guest houses and all the other fine places in Silver City, go to southwestnewmexico.org. And before we let Ethan Orr get away, we always, for each of our candidates, ask, where can people find more information about you? And so thank you, Rose, for reminding me that I forgot to ask you, Ethan, about your website.
Well, come visit us at Ethan, F-O-R, House, Ethan, for House, .com. You can look at our positions, the many endorsements we've gotten, and even send me an email.
Okay, thanks, Ethan.
Are you participating in the 2014 El Tour de Tucson, presented by Casino del Sol Resort? Well, head on over to Silver City, New Mexico on October the 4th for the 4th annual Desert Springs Physical Therapy Gila Monster Grand Fondo. It's the perfect tune-up for El Tour at 103 miles with over 9,000 feet of climbing. Once finished, participants can visit the Little Toad Brewery and Distillery in downtown Silver City for a discounted meal and a drawing for a stay at the Southwest Inn at Sedona. More information is at tourofthegila.com. That's tourofthegila.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's vscot.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Tuesday Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show, sponsored by the crown jewel of downtown Tucson, Fox Tucson Theater, encouraging you to enjoy the month of October by supporting the arts and live entertainment. Coming on Sunday, October 12th, Country Music Hall of Fame legend Kris Kristofferson performs a solo acoustic show heralded as an artist's artist. This three-time Grammy Award winner has recorded 28 albums, penned the classic hits Me and Bobby McGee, Help Me Make It Through the Night, Sunday Morning Coming Down, and For the Good Times. Then on October 16th, Leanne Womack graces the Fox stage with her The Way I'm Living tour, recognized for her best-selling albums I Hope You Dance and Call Me Crazy. Womack has once again impressed her fans with a newly released collection of traditional-style country songs songs that highlight the strong, pure vocals that propelled her to fame. To purchase tickets to see Kris Kristofferson on October 12th and Lee Ann Womack on the 16th of October, call 547-3040 or visit foxtucson.com. Let's welcome now the Tucson Weekly Arts Editor, Margaret Regan. Margaret, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Lots to talk about with you. You had a cover story a few weeks back about all that's going on. And, of course, we crank it up, don't we, here in Tucson for the fall season.
It's always an amazing transition from the summer to just like the first week in September. And then we have five or six plays opening. We have, you know, an equal number of art galleries opening, exhibitions. So we're in the thick of it right now. Lots of things going on.
Your piece that is currently in the weekly, the Davis Dominguez Gallery, showcasing four artists who work in very different ways. One of the images that I saw online was an acrylic on canvas by Jennifer Day. Very impressive work. It's a pretty good show, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's a really nice show. This is interesting. It's a follow-up. Last year they had a show of five women artists, and the gallery organizers tell me they got such a good response to that, they decided to kind of go with these themes. So the theme here is four to watch. These are all younger artists, and quite an exhilarating show because each one does something completely different from the other. Jennifer Day is a young artist who graduated from the U of A, I think maybe last year. And I've been watching her. She's been popping up. She's a very ambitious and energetic young woman. She gets her things into lots of different places, including the Botanical Garden. Last year, midsummer, she had a show of paintings of Alaska. Quite refreshing in that weather. She does they're near abstractions. She's still doing northern landscapes. I was wondering if by this time her landscapes might be desert landscapes, but they still have a very northern feel to them. Pine trees, snow, hills, but very much reduced to geometries. The pine trees are like triangles on sticks, and the rooftops, the snow-laden rooftops, you know, I said in my review, they look kind of like pickup sticks. Remember that game where you drop all the sticks on the floor?
Yeah, her work at Surreal would be a word that comes to mind.
Yeah. There's one called Autumnal Loop where at the bottom you have, you know, kind of a nice, sensible row of orange flaming trees from the fall, kind of New England style, and then you have a sky above, and then above the sky you have a repeating row of the orange flaming trees. So that the surrealism is used to show, you know, when you're enveloped in a forest, it's just kind of everywhere. But she's got it above the sky, below the sky, so that's fun. And then this young man, Joshua Oliveira, who did actually have a show at University of Arizona Museum of Art a couple years ago, curated by Lauren Rabb, the former curator there. Very interesting guy, because he does the landscape too, but you have to, you know, stop and think. This is the landscape, because they're very abstract, but they're made out of pieces of wood and resin on top of paint. So they look almost like sculptures that you hang on the wall. But he does these. He's from Central California, you know, that flatlands where so many of our vegetables are grown.
San Joaquin Valley.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so he conveys that long flatness of the land with these sort of simple, sure strokes, you know, created by pieces of wood. And then this resin on top of everything gives it this sort of jewel-like thickness. They're very nice paintings.
The third painter, Juan Enriquez, has some really interesting pieces.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy, and he's been around for a while, too. He used to work at Davis Dominguez Galleries. As you know, artists are always finding other jobs to support their art. He does very Mexican-influenced imagery. He has lots of paintings that are elaborately framed in tin, just like you might find on those Mexican mirrors down in Nogales. One thing is quite different from most of his work. He did a linoleum print on an American flag. It's a found American flag that he found in a trash can, and he retrieved it from the trash can and decided to print an image of the border wall onto this flag. And it's quite simplified, you know, as the way a linoleum cut is in black lines. One side of the divide, you have a man, and on the other side of the divide is this woman, and I guess she's on the U.S. side because she's standing in the field of stars on the U.S. flag. And it's interesting, metaphorically, because she really disappears into the field of blue. She's lost to him in the United States, and the border wall divides them. So that's quite a moving piece also.
So this is the Davis Dominguez Gallery, and this show will be up for a couple of weeks?
Yeah, and you know what? Actually, this Saturday night, October 4th, they're having the big picture, which is when the downtown galleries do their joint art openings.
Mm-hmm.
So this show's been up for a little bit, but the big opening is this Saturday night. And I should say that's always a very fun event because you can walk from one gallery to the other. It's all free, and crowds come out, and usually there's a little refreshment in the galleries. So it's quite a bit of fun. You know, there are a lot of galleries. This is in the neighborhood of 6th and 6th, and there are a lot of things to see there.
Davis Dominguez Gallery at 154 East 6th Street. That event this weekend, this Saturday, the reception 6 to 8. It is free, and it's a great opportunity to check out the work of many artists, really, downtown. I want to get back to a little bit about the general fall preview. What were some of the blockbusters that jump out at you, Margaret Regan?
Well, the next thing I'm going to go see is the big photography show at Etherton Gallery. You know, as you know, they always do it. Excellent job, and there's an artist that Etherton has been exhibiting for years now, and I've been following her, Kate Brakey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
She's kind of an uber-talented woman. She's originally from Australia and came to Texas years ago and landed in the desert here in Tucson and is very inspired by the desert. You may remember seeing her large-scale blown-up photos of dead birds.
Oh, yeah.
And she paints the birds, and they're just these wonderful mementos of life and of death. They're just so compelling. She's best known for those, but what's great about Kate Brakey is that every single show, she does something completely different from the show before. You know, she's constantly inventing. So I don't know exactly what I'll be seeing at Etherton. It's some kind of landscape and still life photos. She also did a wonderful talk at the Center for Creative Photography about 2 weeks ago.
How about theater and any shows jump out at you?
Yeah, well, I have already been to see the opening show at the Arizona Theater Company. Now, let me get the name straight. It's Masha and Mike, and Vanya and Sonia, and Masha and Spike. It's a kind of a contemporary playoff on Chekhov.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of being isolated in the countryside in a Russian dacha, they're in Bucks County, PA,
mm-hmm.
where a lot of New York actors and theater people go and other artists for the weekend from New York City. There are a lot of country houses down there. And it has the same themes as Chekhov. These people are sort of trapped there. They're always thinking about going someplace else. People come in from the big city who are so glamorous. But it's hilarious. It's a really, really funny play. The playwright is Christopher Durang, who's kind of a hotshot mid-career playwright now, you know, very acclaimed, has won lots of awards. Well, and it's a real fun show for ATC to open their season.
Well, go to the TucsonWeekly.com. They have that cover story from a couple of weeks back. Good reference material for all the stuff going on, all the arts-related stuff. Margaret, thanks. Yeah. We'll talk to you next month.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you very much. This week's Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show, sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater, presenting a month of not-to-be-missed entertainment, music, comedy, fashion, forums, and beyond, will make you fall for the Fox in October. Country Music Hall of Fame legend Kris Kristofferson performs Sunday, October 12th, Leanne Womack. The Way I'm Living Tour takes the stage on October the 16th. Friday the 17th of October, the electrifying vocal group Under the Street Lamp performs an evening of classic hits. Hailed as a modern-day Rat Pack, Under the Street Lamp delivers an unforgettable evening of doo-wop, Motown, and old-time rock and roll favorites from the American Radio Songbook. To view the full Fox Tucson Theater schedule and to purchase tickets to see Kris Kristofferson on October 12th, Leanne Womack on October the 16th, and Under the Street Lamp on October 17th, visit foxtucson.com. The Buckmaster Show thanks Culligan Water, our bottled water on Buckmaster provided by Culligan. Folks, it is better water, pure and simple. It is that simple. Culligan, for all your residential and commercial water needs, thanks Culligan, all of our in-studio guests. Enjoy a nice chilled bottle of Culligan, as does the host and the producer, Rosemary Brandt. We love our Culligan water. This afternoon, for Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw. Tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe from 6 to 8. Then the Daily Double with Chris DeSimone, 8 to 9. Rose and I back with you at 12:04. Until then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.